Hi, friends. This is Angie,
Nikki,
Bonnie,
and Becca,
your hosts of the Seasons Ministry Podcast. If you are new with us, we just want to remind you that we're simply a group of friends who love God and love His Word. And so that's what we're inviting you into, our conversation, as we're going to open God's Word and just discuss it, how it's transforming us and just the personal ways that we see His Word working in our own lives and in the lives of others. We are beginning a second series under the theme of transform. It was laid upon our team's heart to be focused on a verse that comes out of the book of Romans, which is Romans 12:2, that says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." And as we've studied that particular word, we realize that the original meaning is being transformed after being with. And that's what we love so much, because spending time in God's Word will transform our minds and transform our hearts and transform our souls. So our first series, if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, we would really encourage you to go back and listen. That was on the book of Jonah. And we each would agree that we learned a whole lot about that minor prophet and about our Heavenly Father. And this series is going to be on the book of Philippians. But before we start into that actual letter that Paul wrote, we want to go into the book of Acts to give you a little bit of a backstory of Paul, who was originally Saul. So, ladies, do you want to add anything to our overall theme of transform before we kind of dive in and see the transformation that actually happens from Saul to Paul?
No, I think referencing back to Jonah, I love how God led us into these two separate books, because Jonah was more of a work in process sort of view, I guess, kind of at the beginning of a transformation process for him, where the book of Philippians is more focused on Paul after he has not completed, because the transformation process does not end until we end. So it's farther along into that, where he's actually giving us different examples of how to imitate him and other people as they are working towards being transformed to be like Jesus. So I think it's been really interesting for us to start with Jonah, because if you listen back to that one, sort of the theme for us became, we are Jonah. And I think that it really is a great step in the process of this to help you really reflect on who you are and who God is and how those things interact and how God is constantly working. The theme of the book of Jonah, salvation belongs to the Lord, and how we are just trusting in His sovereign nature and His wisdom and leading in the Holy Spirit to take us where He wants us to go, not necessarily where we want to go. And I think that's where we find Paul in Philippians, not necessarily where he wants to be, but where he feels confident that God wants him to be. So if we want to start into the book of Acts, chapter 9, I think let's find out some more about that.
Yeah, and if you're interested in actually seeing the very first place in Scripture that Saul appears, it's Acts 7:58 to 8:3, and we learn that he's actually persecuting anyone that calls themselves a Christian. So when we're beginning in Acts 9, this is actually where the Lord is going to start this transformation in Saul. So I will begin reading a 9 and see how far we get into that before we start discussing. Acts 9, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry out my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. I'm going to go one more verse and into 20, and it says, immediately he proclaimed Jesus in all the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." So let's just begin there and kind of break down this huge transformation we see in Saul.
I think it just goes to show sometimes we try to approach people who are very pensive people who are serious, who are highly educated. We worry a lot of times that we have to have all the answers, and Paul was certainly, you know, a very pedigreed scholar. He knew many languages. He knew all the history. He knew all of the reasons he believed what he believed in, but no human discussion convinced him. Instead, it was a face-to-face meeting with the Lord that triggered his transformation. So I think in some ways it takes the pressure off us in today's reality, where we feel like we have to have all these cerebral answers and to be able to back up all of our beliefs with evidence and with citations and with cross-references. But really, all we need to do is just make an introduction and let the Holy Spirit do his work to cause that transformation in people. That's not us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
It is. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I see the imagery here. Paul's walking along, and suddenly Scripture says there's this a light from heaven shone around him, which takes me to the story of the night Jesus was born, and the light shone around the shepherds, and I think what a dramatic encounter with the Lord, and I think right away Jesus had Saul at the time, his attention, you know. Wow. And then to be asked the question, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I think that's so powerful.
Yeah, I think Saul, if you look in the book of Philippians, in chapter 3, we have Paul describing who he was at the time of his at the time of this transformation. So he's saying in the beginning of chapter 3, let me see what verse this starts. I think in 3. Anyway, he goes on to say, you know, he was circumcised on the eighth day, that he was the Hebrew of Hebrews from the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, a persecutor of the church, righteous under the law, blameless. So that is the person who is standing on the path, being questioned by this voice from heaven saying, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And I think he had to have thought, huh? wait a minute. And because he says, well, who are you? And I think when I first read it, and really up to this moment, I've been reflecting on John 10, where it says Jesus is talking and he says that he is the shepherd and that the sheep, his sheep, know his voice. So I was thinking about that and how Paul or Saul did not know who was talking to him because he didn't belong to Jesus. He was Jewish. He knew the scripture. He describes himself as blameless. But when Jesus comes to him in Acts 9, verse 5 or 4 or whatever, somewhere around in there, and says, why are you persecuting me? And then he says, I am Jesus, who you're persecuting. I think Saul was shocked. I think shocked from the experience. And I think Saul would not have made the connection with the Christmas night because he didn't believe that, first of all. And Luke hadn't been written yet. So, you know, like we can see things. And that's the really big blessing that we have in scriptures. We can see and know a lot more things than they actually have information to. But yeah, God is light. He was referred to as light lots of times in the Old Testament. So Saul would have been familiar with that. But here is this light shining from heaven and addressing Saul and accusing him of persecuting Jesus. And so I think so many things were happening right there. And I always am fascinated by the shepherd sheep and the sheep know their voice. And I like documentaries. If you've never heard me say anything before, you surely know that, but I've watched shepherds call their sheep and you know, even the dog that's running around herding the sheep, he knows all the different tones and deflections, and I can't hear a difference, but the dog knows the difference, the sheep know the difference, and they follow him. They come running for their food, and Saul didn't know. He didn't recognize that voice, and so this is transformation day one.
Yes, and that's exactly where I was leading into with all of that, is because he is blinded for 3 days. And so you get another visual because he is physically blinded. It tells us that he wasn't able to see, but it's a reference that he is awakened, that he has been spiritually blind. And God has now pierced this heart of his. And imagine, I mean, he stood firm. I mean, he's going in and he's taking out people. He's there at the feet and agreeing to Stephen's persecution and death in right in front of him. And so he's standing firm. But then God pierces that heart of his and says, I am Jesus. And everything begins to change. Yeah. And that's what transformation is. The grace of God awakening our heart to who he is. And day one, but it doesn't end there. It's just the beginning. And we see that he regains his sight, he's baptized, and then he immediately goes and starts proclaiming, because this gift that was given to him, he wants to go out and share. And so, Nikki, do you want to say any more on Saul as he begins to start proclaiming and planting churches before we lead into Acts 16? Or if not, you can start right there.
Well, when Becca was talking about Paul not recognizing the sound of the voice, not knowing who Jesus was, I was kind of reminded this week when we were recording this, Charlie Munger passed away, a famous public figure. And so, of course, people are paying tribute to him in the news, and they're putting up some of his quotes. And one of his quotes went something along the lines of, you don't get an opinion about a topic unless you can explain it from your opponent's point of view as well as your opponent can. So it indicated to me that Paul was not understanding the people that he was persecuting, or else it may have occurred to him that this voice coming from a bright light, who could it be? Who could it be? Yeah. And you know, it's not that he even said, God, is that you? Or so it's easy for us to be in this position that we're in and have this perspective, but I get the sense, and this is just speculation, that he had kind of been stopping his ears against the gospel this whole time and just single-mindedly pursuing these people to persecute them. And also the Lord didn't say, why are you persecuting my followers, whom, you know, we all have the assurance that he loved his followers very much. He made it personal. He said, why do you persecute me? And so, again, I think that that's something that we as humans are tempted to do. We kind of make excuses and we relate our behaviors to other people, when what the Lord is interested in is not our relationships as related to other people, but our relationship to him.
And I think it's interesting that because Paul was such a Jew and had such an education and would have known the scripture of the time, and have developed an understanding of a lot of things, that, you know, it seems to me that once his eyes were opened, all he had to do was put Jesus in all of that. And
he does.
and he becomes a great preacher. I mean, you know, he puts Jesus in that. And then another thought I had over in verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. There was a song that when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king, in reference to David. And so I think just twisting that a little bit, when at least the Christians of the day saw Paul, Saul, as a persecutor of the Jews, God saw a great missionary, you know. So I think for us, when we see ourselves as unworthy and irrelevant, you know, we don't know what God may see in any of us, because he wants to use us. And obviously he wanted to use Saul.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing about Saul. I don't know when we switch from calling him one to the other in the context of our conversation, but Saul had so much knowledge of scripture and he had so much leadership experience. And I think that God used all of the things from his past to prepare him for the future that he had. While Saul may have thought that he had earned his leadership role because of his good leadership skills, but I guess he probably hadn't considered that those leadership skills came to him as a gift from God to be used to shepherd and disciple the church from the beginning until time ends, you know, as long as the word never ends. And so God was using him in such a bigger way. And I was thinking, as you were wrapping up there, Bonnie, about how it says in Philippians 1:27 to let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. And it also says that in Ephesians, I'll have to look that up. I think it's Ephesians chapter 2. It says, live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. And I think that that is part of this transformation calling that we have, to live a life worthy of the gospel, not worthy of, you know, anything credentially that we bring to it, but the gospel is what we are living to be worthy of. The next little piece that I would like to look at and talk about here is Ananias. I can't imagine what it felt like to be him in this position, because if we read the first 9 chapters of Acts, we can see all the things that Paul is doing, or Saul, and that he actually, you know, we know he has a letter to go specifically probably to Ananias's house, because he was a spiritual leader for the way at that point. So for Ananias to know, or probably hear rumored that Saul was coming, everybody, you know, get a secret knock on the door, don't open it, maybe hide your stuff, send your kids to visit their relatives out of town. Saul's coming, to God says, hey, guess what? Not only is he coming, but you need to go and heal him, because I'm getting ready to use him to carry my name to the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I can't imagine the roller coaster of emotions that he must have been feeling. are you sure?
Well, I mean, it makes me think right back to Jonah.
Yes,
because
exactly.
You want me to go to the enemy and proclaim this on him? And God says, yes. He's referring to Saul as my chosen instrument. And Ananias obeys. He humbles himself to not understand what is happening, but he walks in obedience and trusts that God will protect him. And then I'm sure he doesn't know after that. He doesn't have any idea that Saul would then turn to Paul and Paul would go on to plant churches everywhere.
How could he know?
No.
Other than God's word. And I think that's the importance of my sheep know my voice. Mm-hmm. Because we can see here, Paul didn't know. He didn't know God's voice. So he was struck with a lot of shock and emotion. And we see him just kind of getting led. He didn't even take himself. Somebody else took him to Damascus. But we then see Ananias, who's like, well, that's not what I was expecting. Okay. And he does it because he knows the shepherd's voice. So he doesn't question the shepherd. I mean, he kind of does, but not really. I don't feel in a disrespectful way. You know, I feel like that's in scripture just for us to understand that he understood who he was going to talk to. So we see Ananias go, well, all right. And that's contrast to Jonah. We know Jonah knew God's voice because he was a productive prophet. At the time, he had heard God's voice and communicated it. But in the book of Jonah, the contrast was Jonah was ruled by the bitterness and the anger in his heart. And here, we don't see that in Ananias. I mean, maybe we have no idea, but it didn't stop him from going to Saul. It just maybe propelled him to do it. I don't know. But, you know, the fruit of the Spirit gives us self-control, and the Holy Spirit empowers us and equips us to do things that we don't want to do and we don't understand. But this is a transformed Ananias walking in obedience.
And I think that's what we'll see as we get further into the book of Philippians, that it's the gospel that transforms over and over and over again. Initially piercing the heart and then continuing to transform people into Christ likeness, which then transforms all those people around them. I love that, knowing his voice. And that's what we're all about. We're all about pointing you into scripture, because that's where you will hear his voice and know his voice. And we're actually going to let you do some of that on your own, because I know we need to get over to Acts 16 to talk about God leading Paul. Now we're just going to call him Paul from here on out. To Philippi. And this wasn't Paul's plan, as we're going to see, but he knows the voice of God. And so I'm going to hop over to Acts chapter 16. Now, this is Paul's second missionary trip. So there's a lot that we're skipping over. So again, we're going to point you back, hit pause if you need to, and catch up with us. But we're hopping into Acts 16. And I'm going to start with verse 6. And it says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So here again, we see further transformation in Paul, because he is all about planting churches, going back to encourage them to grow in disciple making, making sure they have a firm foundation of their faith. So that's where he thinks he's going in a second missionary trip, to revisit the same area. But it says the Holy Spirit, again, like Becca has been saying to us, know the voice, listen to the voice. And it says twice the Holy Spirit says, nope, you're not going there, Paul. And so God in his grace comes to Paul in a vision and says, go to Macedonia.
Yeah. And I think there's so much, and it's hard to try and cram these things into 30 minutes because there's so many things we want to talk about. And I know that we want to look at the conversion of Lydia and maybe work that into our conversation, but we don't have a lot of time for that right now. So at this point, I think we're just going to have to land on going where God calls you to go. And how does that translate to you? So as we consider Paul, Saul, Ananias, the we at this point is Timothy and Paul and Silas. So these three men have joined up together. This was Timothy's first little trip with Paul and Silas at this point. So we see them team up together and walk in obedience into another whole a continent, I think,
yes,
as they cross over to Europe. So I think for whatever reason, it was time to leave Asia and switch over to whatever continent Europe is. I don't know. Somebody help me with geography there. It's Europe. Okay, it's just Europe. Sorry, overthinker. Anyway, so yeah, I think at this point we just want to invite you to look at yourself and see where you fit into these places. Are you Paul? Are you having scales removed from your eyes? Are you Saul, the self-righteous religious person who just blindly goes in and does what he thinks is the right thing? Are you Ananias, who knows the voice of the Father and obeys into what seemed like certain death and danger? Or are you Timothy, Paul, and Silas, who are trying to do what they think is the right thing and trying to go in this direction, but the Holy Spirit says, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to do this. And I think we can't probably put ourselves into situations as monumental as these, but also we can look at our own lives and consider what God is calling us to do, and if we know his voice and if we're being obedient to his voice, and what does that mean for us? All right, well, let's wrap up in prayer. We did not get nearly as far as we thought, but hey, you know what? That's the Holy Spirit saying, you're not going to that yet. We're going to just stop right here because it's enough to consider whether or not we know God's voice. So I think we'll just wrap up in prayer. We thank you for joining us in this new series of the book of Philippians, which we have not really even touched, but this is all the groundwork to help you know where things are coming from when we start into this book. So we're super excited to get into it with you, and we hope that you will stick around and jump into chapter one next week with us. Bonnie, would you like to close us out in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, this time has passed so quickly. We just thank you for the opportunity to be in your word. And Father, I pray that we around this table and those listening will just take time, Father, to reflect on our own conversion and how you drew us unto yourself. And Father, help us to realize that it's all the work of the Holy Spirit within us and transforming us each day into your likeness. Help us, Father, to submit to that, and help us to listen for your voice, because when you speak, if we are yours, we will know your voice. And we thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.